We have been away from the building for 6 months now. Nobody could have predicted that this pandemic would have lasted this long and have had the devastating impact that it has had on our lives. And just because we're not in the building does not mean that we're absent from the body of Christ. It does not mean that we're absent from one another. You know, there's a tendency for complacency to sit in when we are not around our familiar. If you think about it, our work life, our home life, our spiritual life has been disturbed by this pandemic because we are not doing what we routinely do. And my word today is, from God's word, is to warn against the complacency that can come when we are physically distanced from one another. And I'm coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 today. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And it reads, I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. And even now, you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, and division among you, you are not carnal, and you not carnal, and behaving as mere men. For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. Amen. Amen. As we look at this, I have a few points I want to lift up. But first, let me give you the title. The title is Dangers of Stunted Growth. Dangers of Stunted Growth. Do not let complacency stunt your growth in Christ. As a matter of fact, this is a perfect opportunity to have a growth spurt while we are physically distanced. This is a perfect opportunity to spend time with God alone. This is a perfect opportunity to commit to studying his word more, to read his word and apply his word to our lives and seek guidance from the Holy Spirit of how we can better minister, how we can better serve one another, how we can better reach others for Christ. So again, the title is The Dangers of Stunted Growth. And I have 3 points I want to lift up that I will give you right now in case I forget later. Number one, immaturity or complacency stunts spiritual growth. Immaturity or complacency stunts spiritual growth. Number two, immaturity or complacency limits spiritual unity. It limits spiritual unity. And number three, immaturity or complacency ignores God's involvement. Ignores God's involvement. Amen. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to present this message today, Lord. I just pray that you allow me to deliver it the way you have given it to me, Father. And I just pray that it sits in our hearts, Father, as we ponder where we are with you and are we complacent now during this time a physical distancing, or are we taking the opportunity to draw closer to you? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 As we look at this passage, the first thing we see is Paul is talking to the church in Corinth. And the situation is that the church in Corinth, he has checked on them, and there is division among the church, the members of the church. There is divisions because they lack a clear understanding of what the gospel is really all about. So Paul started this earlier in the chapter, in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. He tells about, it has been declared to him in verse 11 of chapter 1, for it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you say, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And what he's saying is that he has heard that people have split themselves, they have divided themselves and declared themselves followers of the preacher rather than followers of Christ. So it has caused division. They have had arguments with each other of who is the better speaker, who can articulate God's word better, who is the most charismatic. They have had conversations with themselves and they've compared the work of those who have ministered among them, and they have divided themselves. And Paul is saying that, my brothers and sisters, this is a sign of your immaturity. This is a sign that your growth has been stunted. For he goes on in the chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, he says, I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. So what he's saying is that they are carnal, that you are carnal. What he's saying is that you are being led by the world instead of by Christ. So some of your thinking is stinking. Some of your ways are not the ways of Christ. He's telling them that you have allowed divisions to come unto you, but I could not speak to you as spiritual people because you were not there yet. You were babes in Christ. And he uses a beautiful illustration in verse 2. I fed you with milk and not solid food. Paul fed them the elementary truths of salvation, the elementary truths of the gospel, but he could not teach them the deeper doctrines of Christ because they were not able to digest it yet. And that's what he says. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. Now we know that babies, they cannot eat the same food that you and I can eat when they are young. They have to get to the point where they can eat the same food than you and I do. They have to have special milk or formula to drink when they are in their formative stages, and they cannot handle certain things. And even as your child grows a little bit older, that there will be a tendency for somebody to want to feed them something, and you'll have to step in and say, no, they cannot handle that yet. Their digestive system is not built for that yet. They have not had that. There's something in that they cannot chew up easily. So this is the illustration that Paul is using for where the Christians are in Corinth. He's letting them know that I can only give you the elementary truth because you are not able to. You know, when we first start riding bikes, we had these things called training wheels on, amen? And these training wheels were to assist us because we did not have that balance yet where we could handle two wheels by itself. But eventually, there came a time when the training wheels had to come off because we got to the point where we could maintain our balance. So the training wheels came off, and that's what he's saying to the Christians in Corinth. It's like y'all been riding the bicycle with training wheels on, and y'all grown people, it's time for those training wheels to come off. Some are still satisfied in riding bikes with training wheels. And you know what? He's also, as I look at this, I also think about in school. When we're in school as a student, and I know the teachers among us can testify this, that there has to be something called a progress report. And this progress report shows how far you have come towards the goal for your age group, for your class goals. And if you have not met those, there is some more work that needs to be done to you. There might be some more tutoring that is recommended. There might be other classes that are recommended. And when you don't make the necessary progress, you can be held back. Again, that's what Paul is saying. He said that they are babes in Christ. They can only handle the elementary truths of the gospel and not the deeper doctrine yet. My brothers and sisters, the word today is to don't allow this 6-month period or that will linger longer, draw you into a state of complacency where your spiritual growth is stunted, but keep on in the word of God and keep on praying to God and keep on following God. And he goes on in verse 3 to even tell them how he can tell that they are spiritually immature. Look at verse 3. For you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? In other words, he's saying, aren't you behaving like the world when you act this way? He's giving characteristics of spiritual immaturity here. He says that there's envy among them. There is strife or quarrels among them. And there is division among them. And we read an illustration of that division in chapter 1 earlier when they had picked sides as to who was the leader they wanted to follow, who was the minister that they most admired. They could not come together on the basic stuff, realizing that it is God who is over the church. So they are carnal. You are still carnal. Now, Hebrews 5, 13 and 14. Here's what it says. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And what he's saying is that if you are still in your elementary level of your relationship with Christ, that you are still unskilled in the word of God. You are still unskilled in your faith. And you know, in my experience, faith only comes through practice. The more we recognize what God has done in our life, the more we realize it is God and not us, the more we do a deeper dive into his word, the more our faith is strengthened. But what Hebrews is saying is that everyone who partakes in only milk is unskilled. You know, if you still have that basic diet that you had as a baby, then something is wrong. You have not developed right. So if you still have that basic diet, if you're still doing the same things you did when you were young in Christ, then you have not grown in Christ. If the only Bible verse you know is Jesus wept, and if the only song you know is Yes, Jesus Loves Me, for the Bible tells me so, then there needs to be some growth. Amen. Amen. These are the elementary things. If your prayer is still, now lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, then there needs to be some growth in Christ. There's nothing wrong with that. But we need to grow in Christ. The second point comes, immaturity or complacency limits spiritual unity. And Paul says that in verses 4 and 5, where he says, for when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, who was another minister, are you not carnal? Aren't you thinking like the world? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? And what he's saying is, don't look at us as God. Don't look at us as a replacement for Christ, because all ministers are servants of Christ. And they are following servant leadership. And this thing, minister, I like Mark chapter 10, verse 45, when Jesus even talks about himself, where he says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So what he's saying, Jesus even said, I did not come to be served, but I came to serve you. I came to minister to you. That's the job of a minister. So see, Paul and Apollos and Cephas and the others, they were just doing their jobs as ministers for Christ. But somehow division had come among the people, and the people got complacent, and their spiritual growth was stunted. Don't let that happen to you, my brothers and sisters. And the last point I want to lift up is immaturity or complacency ignores God's involvement. You see, when we are acting like the world, we are ignoring that God is involved in this. We are only going by who we see and what we see and what they say and what they do. And we are ignoring that God is involved in all of this. And look at what Paul says in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 3. He says, I planted. Paul said, I planted. And he used an illustration that we all are familiar with. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Paul is saying, yes, I came to you in Corinth. Yes, I came and I preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. I came and taught. I planted the church in Corinth. And Apollos came after me after I left, and he watered. So if you think of an agricultural situation where you can do all the watering you want, but if nothing's been planted, nothing's going to grow. And you can plant all as you want to, and you can water all that you want to, and still you might not get the results that you're looking for. Farmers know that they can plant. They can do the same methodology every year. They can plant at a certain time. They can water at a certain time. But yet, year to year, the yield is different. Why? Because they do not control everything. The farmers only control what they can control. When you plant your little garden out in your back or even in your house, in vase, we don't know how it's going to turn out. We know how we want it to turn out. But there are certain things we can't control. For the farmer cannot control how much rain will come. The farmer cannot control how the weather is going to be. Whether or not it's going to be March, when important trees are starting to bloom and bud, and peach trees and other trees like that. The farmer can't control whether or not there will be a freeze that will stunt the growth of their yield for that year. So there are things that we can control, and there are things that we cannot control. So what Paul is saying is that I planted the church, Apollos fed you spiritually, he watered, but it was God who gave the increase. You know what? Understanding everybody's job helps to prevent division among us. Letting each one do his own job prevents division. You know, sometimes in church, we get jealous of somebody else because they're doing something that we think we should be doing or we can do better. But we need to praise God for volunteers who step up to do things. We need to praise God for those that God has allowed their gifts to shine forth. And we need to prayerfully seek what God has for us. How can I contribute to the ministry? How can I contribute? And we tend to look at the most visible jobs in the church instead of focusing on the ones behind the scenes that keep things going. Rightfully so, we look at the pastor or the ministers. We look at the choir. We look at the singer, the musician. We look at them. We see them. But do we see the trustees who spend their time during the week making sure everything's clean, the building's comfortable, we have everything we need for the service to go on? Do we think about those who have cleaned the building and kept it going? That might be their gift. Are those who have played a part in working on the program for Sunday or for Wednesday, or for whenever we meet? Everybody has a job. There's a job for everybody. But yet sometimes due to stunted growth, we don't grow into our jobs that God wants us to do. So again, that sixth verse, I planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gave the increase. So Paul's saying here, look, I'm nothing. If it wasn't for the power of God in me, I would not have even been in Corinth. Apollos would not have been effective in Corinth without God in the mix. So that's a message within itself, just keeping God in the mix so that he can provide the increase. He's saying that they are just servants again. As servants, we cannot produce spiritual results. There's another illustration of farming in the Bible. It comes from Matthew chapter 13. It's the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. And he's talking about the farmer who goes to sow the seeds, praying and hoping for a bountiful crop. And he says, as he sows, as he throws out the seed, some fell by the wayside. You know, some laid on the ground. And whenever you see seed laying on the ground, don't be surprised that birds come by and or something else comes by to eat it up. And some fell on stony places and they sprung up, but it withered away because there were no roots. You know, it might have been that place where it might have only been like 2 inches of soil, but it's rock underneath. It looks good as we look at it, but there's no depth to it. So this seed fell on stony places, and it was, and the produce was allowed to spring a little bit, but because there was no roots, it withered away. Some seed that the sower threw out fell among the thorns or the weeds, and the weeds grew and choked them out. And then some fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. And in this parable, he's talking about the word of God. Jesus is talking about the word he is preaching and teaching. And he is saying that I'm throwing or I'm sharing the same word, but it's not always receptive because of the condition of the person that it is going to. Think about that. We have a role to play. The Lord can be there for us. But what is our heart condition? What is our heart condition? Going back to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 8. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Servants are one in God's work, and servants get their reward according to their labor. So there should be no division in the church by picking sides, because we are all servants of God, trying our best to do the will of God for the people of God. And if we look at verse 9, it says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." What he's saying is that we all are God's laborer. God uses his talents to grow his church. And in the agricultural setting, in the farm, many workers are needed to make it work. You need somebody to prepare the soil, somebody to plant the seed, somebody to pull the weeds, somebody to reap the harvest. But they all share in the harvest at the end. There is a diversity of gifts within the church and job opportunities in the church. And I'll take this moment to implore each and every one of us to ask ourselves, what can we do to make Beacon Light better? What can we do to contribute to the ministry of Beacon Light, even though we are not meeting together regularly in a building? How can we use our gifts to make the body of Christ better? Again, Paul founded the church in Corinth. Apollos watered it with preaching and teaching, but it was God who gave the increase. And I think I like the last part of that verse, verse 9. You are God's building. You know what Paul's saying? We are the church. It's not necessarily the building. So as a reminder, it will be a while before we will be back in the building. But yet we are the church. We are God's building. We are God's fellow workers. We are God's field. Today is not the day to be complacent in our faith. Today is not the day to look back over our lives, the last 6 months, and ask ourselves, has my growth been stunted because I have allowed myself to become complacent? Because I have allowed myself to accept this as the new normal? Has my growth been stunted because I'm absent from the physical touch of one another? Or has my growth been stunted because there is a division within my spirit of whether to be carnal or to be righteous? The question is, during these 6 months, and we don't know how much longer it will be, but my prayer is that we take this opportunity again to have a growth spurt, a spiritual spurt. You know what? When we were young, we used to measure our physical growth by marking in pencil on the door jab beside the door. And we would come back later and put the pencil above our head or the ruler on our head and mark the door and see how much we had grown, or in some cases, how little we had grown. But we would rejoice when we saw a significant increase in size. We would rejoice. This spiritual growth cannot be measured by a mark on the door or on the wall, but it can be measured. How can it be measured? I'm glad you want to know. It can be measured by your faith in God. It can be measured by the way you handle stress differently now than you might have done 6 months ago. It can be measured by how far your faith has grown. It can be measured by how many times you call on Jesus to fix it rather than gossip to somebody else. It can be measured by our dependence on the Lord. It can be measured by an increase in our prayer life to the Lord. It can be measured by our capability, our ability to intercede in prayer for others. It can be measured by our knowledge of the Word and our devotion to the Word. And mostly it can be measured by our application of the Word of God in our lives, in our lives. Again, this is a message that Paul shared with the church in Corinth. He had noticed some things among them that was not right. And he wanted to take them to level 2 and level 3, but they were still stuck on level 1. Let us not be like the Corinthian church. Let us not take this opportunity that we are physically distanced as an excuse to not study the Word of God, to not meditate on God, to not worship God. Let us not make this an excuse. But allow this to draw us together. Think about it. 6 or 7 months ago, how many of us would have thought something like this was even possible? 6 months ago, we were disturbed because plans we had made for the year were being altered. But now we know what's happening. Now we are adjusting. Now we are proceeding forth in spite of being physically distanced. Therefore, in our spiritual lives, as the phrase says, as the phrase is, let's keep on keeping on, worshiping, praising, learning, teaching, and working for Christ. God bless you. God bless you on this day.